Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Radio Imbibe from Imbibe Magazine. I'm Paul Clark, the executive editor of Imbibe, and just like that, it's the holidays and the final episode of this podcast for 2021. I doubt any of us are going to miss 2021 very much. It's been a particularly challenging year, not that the previous year was any better in any way. A little more than a year ago, when Imbibe's editors were chatting together over Zoom about the things we should do in the magazine for the year we're now wrapping up, one of the notions that came up was to dedicate the back page quench essay of each issue to checking in with our friends and colleagues in the hospitality world about what the pandemic has meant for them, their families, and their businesses. In our November-December issue, we ran the final installment of that series, an essay from Rebecca Kate, who with her husband Martin owns the San Francisco bars Smuggler's Cove and Whitechapel, along with a handful of other bars scattered around the country. Rebecca shared that over the first year or so of the pandemic, Smuggler's Cove lost three of its regulars and rum club members to causes other than COVID, but that due to the pandemic-related shutdowns, their longtime friends from the bar couldn't get together to properly commemorate their lives. For this episode, we check in with Martin and Rebecca to catch up on how their regulars have responded to finally being able to get together again, and on what they're drinking during this holiday season. Martin and Rebecca, thanks for joining me for the podcast.
Good to be back, Paul.
We want to get in touch for a couple of reasons. First off, we've regularly featured Smuggler's Cove and Whitechapel and your other bars in our orbit over the years. And it's always good to check in and see how things are going. And second, and more timely, in our November-December issue, you, Rebecca, you shared with our readers some insight into what the past couple of years have meant for your bar's regulars and kind of your extended bar family. So let's talk about that to start off with. Obviously, your bars were closed at the outset of the pandemic for a number of months, which kept people you knew physically apart. What was that like, and what were some of the things that they were experiencing and that you guys were going through during that time?
Yeah, so it was a rough, you know, for everyone, but it was a rough, we were closed for 15 months at Smuggler's Cove, longer some of our other bars. And it was tough. We're really proud of the community that we've built at Smuggler's Cove around our rum club. We have hundreds of members now. Lots of friendships have built out of that club. And so to suddenly have that all grind to a halt, it was, again, sort of more than just people not being able to come in and grab a drink. It was, they couldn't see their friends. They couldn't meet regularly at our bar. And it was tough. And then what made it especially tough for us was that we lost three of our rum club members during lockdown. And so not due to COVID, due to a variety of other reasons, but they were three very active members of our club. And so we couldn't even really honor them. We do have a Facebook group and things like that, but it just is not the same as raising a glass together. So that was really, really tough for all of us.
I think I think Rebecca touched on this in the piece as well, but it is important that we think about bars in modern 21st century society as these kind of, you know, this classic term that sociologists use of the third space, this idea that it's something that's not work and it's not home, and it really is something that's important for people to have something else, a place that doesn't have the pressures of work or the pressures of home and family, but is a place where you can seek respite, find friends and things like that. And increasingly, of course, with the sort of decline of civic organizations and clubs and, you know, bowling leagues and church groups and everything else, that it's sometimes these places get harder and harder to find, places to actually, you know, whether it's centered around hobbies or whether it's centered around, these places are really important to the fabric of American cultural life. And just to have that stripped away, you know, Rebecca said quite rightly, and that everyone got together, you know, we've started to read, you know, we would start to learn, not during the pandemic, but of course we learned that our rum club members would, you know, meet each other for dinner and go out and actually were engaged, became friends outside in the real world, outside of the bar. So that was, you know, that's something that really warmed our heart. And it was, so yeah, we did some Zoom stuff. Of course, we had the Facebook group stayed active. They had regular calls where they connected with each other. And
which they actually started, we didn't. They initiated on their own. Which was also very heartwarming to just sort of, they invited us. They said, oh, we're all getting together. Do you guys want to join?
Yeah.
This is
so that was good. Yeah. And I mean, it also certainly goes without saying that the same, we were also trying to keep in touch and connected with our staff as well during all this, because our staff is very much a family to us. We've had most of them for a very long time. They're, you know, a lot of lifers, and several of them live alone. And so to see them, just whether it was through the Slack channel or trying to have a Zoom with them just to have a toast, let's all see each other, but just to make sure we're checking in to say, how are you doing? I know it's got to be, you know, lonely and isolating where you're at. And so, yeah, it was a long patch. And I feel like there was another part to your question, which we may have forgotten.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I mean, you kind of touched upon it. And I was wondering, you know, Rebecca, when you prepared this essay for us, just by the nature of publishing, you know, for our November piece, we're working on it in the summer, you guys had only just recently reopened at that time. Because as you mentioned, you've been closed for 15 months. Bring us up to speed. What's the reentry experience been like for both yourselves, but also your regulars kind of coming back and being able to see each other, and for you being able to resume these kinds of regular events that you've done with them?
Yeah, I feel like, again, it was sort of a slow reopening, and we did some soft openings and all that, which we were still had weird social distancing rules. So we could only have 12 people in the bar, which was actually almost worse than being closed, because it's just so, the energy is weird. Everything's weird. The regulars that were there loved it, though, because they got the cove to themselves, basically. But we looked around like, this is not Smuggler's Cove. This is so strange.
Or
financially viable. No. And then we sort of really opened. I think I said this in the piece, too, that first night to see our bar actually full. And all of our regulars ordering actual drinks. And I burst into tears. It was sort of everything kind of culminating at this moment. I didn't even realize I was going to feel that way. I think it just sort of all really hit me. And at the time I thought, oh, good, this is over. Yeah. Which, of course, then we had Delta and masking came back and a lot of other things. But even so, it's different. We're open. I mean, and then more recently, what's been really wonderful is we finally got to have our rum club, what used to be a quarterly meeting, and we haven't had it for 2 years. And it's where we kind of give out all their awards when they hit certain levels in our club and honor them. So we were finally able to do that. I mean, they've literally been asking every month for 2 years, when are we going to have it? When are we going to have it? I don't know. So we had 70 people. We were able to toast the 3 members we lost, which was very emotional for everybody. But really, again, we were finally physically all together and could do it, which was really nice. And then gave out, we usually give out a handful of...
Well, don't tell them too much of what happens. It's a secret meeting.
Secret society,
But
I will say we usually
don't
have
discuss
about...
the rituals.
About 10 honors, maybe. And we had over 50. So it was crazy. We built up all of these quarters of things. So, it was wonderful to have... And they... It was
incredibly emotional. I stood up in front of this group and looked out at all of them, and it was just, you know, glasses were raised, and it was really powerful to just have everybody in person again, the staff running around making magic happen. It just had a wonderful energy to it. A real victorious sort of sensation. I mean, it's still all kind of coupled with anxiety is always kind of on the back burner now. There's always a little uncertainty. I mean, you can hear it in people, but I think there's also what I think we noticed by just reopening and seeing people in the space and everything else is that they're craving a return to normalcy too. They really want, you know, they just want, this is my stool. I come here on Tuesdays. This is where I sit. I order these 2 rums. I get a hot buttered and then I get a puka punch, and that's my ritual. And that's this, you know, and I just want to get back to it because it is a sense of structure in your life. And some, you know, that whether, you know, I mean, if you're structure is drinking, you know, hey, that's what we're here for. But I mean, it is.
It's more, it is, yeah, that sort of third place.
And, third place and being a creature of habit and just wanting to say, this is, you know, I want to smell that air. I want to be in that lighting and, you know, just sort of hear those sounds again. And, it, you know, and I think that goes for, you know, for any bar and restaurant with good regulars that just, you know, that's the atmosphere they've come to love and appreciate and they just want to be in it again. So
I've been actually, I noticed it before the pandemic, but I've really noticed it since, kind of back to this idea that it's not just a place to drink and it's this whole community, is I've noticed we have several couples in our room club and they actually will come on different nights. And to me, even more speaks to that this is all a group of people that they're all friends with. Like they don't come as, some come as a couple, certainly, but we have several couples where we're like, oh no, tonight's her night and she comes and hangs out and another night he comes. And that's, I mean, to me, that just speaks volumes that it's
true.
That
true.
It's bigger than.
There's also some babysitting requirements.
Well, that's what I'm thinking of. But even that they're driven to both come is great.
Now, you know, obviously things aren't settled with the pandemic and won't be for some time. But still in cities like San Francisco with significant vaccination rate and where many people are taking precautions, people are out and about again and enjoying themselves this holiday season. What does the holiday season look like at your bars right now?
It's definitely, following, there's always a bit of a slump after Thanksgiving, but then it bounced right back. Busy. I mean, pretty busy. People are generally in a festive mood. There are a lot of places, as you know, with the spread of things like Miracle and Sippin' and all these concepts, and everyone just kind of really, really enjoying these festive spaces. I mean, we just went into the newly rebuilt PCH space, which is dressed for Miracle, and it's, you know, you can feel that people are really, it's fun. It just, you know, it's kind of, it's got that sense of a balm just looking at the walls covered in wrapping paper and the lights and everything else is a sense, you know, that's the things that you just, that a lot of folks are just clinging to, that I just want that sort of sense of normalcy. I mean, we were excited in our house just to go get a tree. Smells good. You know, it's comfort food, you know, just a really nice smell of a fresh cut tree. So, I think people are cautious and anxious, but generally good. You know, California put a statewide mask mandate back into effect this week. And then the day after they announced it, they said San Francisco County doesn't need to do it because you already have some procedures in place. Plus the vax rates are so good there. So it feels like there's a certain confidence in the high percentage of vax and boosted people in the area that I think does help. I mean, having said all that, we were also just down near PCH in the Union Square area, and you can definitely feel that the sort of energy around shopping is slower. There was no problems parking. There's a lot of empty storefronts. So there's still a sense that there's a long way to go to come back. So it's, I think everyone is just sort of being cautiously optimistic, and, you know, there's definitely some fatigue about pandemic fatigue. And so it's hard to kind of keep people, you know, come on, let's just keep those masks on a little bit longer. I know we're all sick of them, but we got to just go a little bit further. And hopefully this thing is starting to peter out, but we'll see.
Right. And I think, you know, especially as compared to last year, when we look at this time last year, well, your bars were closed. Most bars were closed. Most restaurants were closed. We're only doing takeout. Mm-hmm. We weren't really able to see each other, and it was still kind of a scary experience because the vaccines weren't yet really in circulation. So at least this year, while there's still a lot of uncertainty and we really need to be cautious, there's still like a sense of joy. Mm-hmm. Like you're saying, you know, when you go into PCH or go into your own bars, there's still kind of a sense of joy among people, which I think part of that is we can actually have the holidays this year. It kind of feels that way.
Yeah. And it's interesting. We're seeing, I've seen a few groups coming into the bars that are definitely groups of friends, groups of, and some groups of coworkers too, because We're still on this. We went kind of back in a lot of the companies that said they were going to come back into the office have made those dates vague again. I think there's a lot of coworkers said, hey, how about our department just gets together and goes to the Cove for a drink tonight? So we've seen some of that again, which is good. I do think people, you know, the work from home thing is fine, but I do think people still want to have physical connection with each other. And so I've seen a little bit of that, which has been promising because we're all very nervous. I mean, as operators in San Francisco about the kind of ongoing lack of offices reopening. It's definitely affecting our trade. It affects foot traffic. It affects
private events.
Private event bookings are down. I mean, there's just nobody's having happy hours. So it's really, that makes us very scared. And we're close to a lot of big company headquarters like Twitter and Square and Facebook offices and things like that. There's lots, and obviously it's San Francisco, so there's plenty around, but they're all still at home. So that does get us, it has at least most of the operators I know still a little bit wary about this. Mm-hmm. So we're scared, but all we can do is soldier forward and do this, still just kind of taking one day at a time, because planning for the future seems really challenging. It's just let's open today and see how it goes.
Right. But and by this point, we've kind of figured out how to do that in a way. I mean, we've been doing it for almost 2 years now. Mm-hmm. And I think we're figuring out the routines that work for ourselves. Mm-hmm. Get through. So, you know, if there's a silver lining to it, it's like, well, we know how to deal with this, or at least we're flexible enough to figure it out. On a more positive note, we're a drinks magazine. This is a drinks podcast. You're in the drinks business. What are you guys doing this season? What are you excited about serving or drinking and or drinking this season?
Well, you know, it's funny. The Cove has always been a big place for hop-buttered rum, as you will not be surprised to learn. And so it's kind of funny. Our two biggest sales months for hop-buttered rum are December and July, because San Francisco July is freezing. And so we're seeing a lot of, definitely moving a lot of hot buttered rum right now. We didn't put out a special holiday menu per se. It's funny. I think one of the things about the Cove that's kind of weird is that specials don't really work for us. It's sort of people just like, now I want the thing you do. That's all I want. Almost every time we put out
for special, a puka punch, and that's what I'm
going to damn well have. I mean, I had a brand pay for some really nice table tents for a special a couple of months ago, and it just crickets. Like, I'm like, but it's everywhere. It was all over the bar. Like, so can't say we didn't tell people. No, nobody cares.
To be fair, your regular menu is kind of a special menu.
It's long as well.
Yeah.
There is something for everyone already.
But right now, besides the hot butter rum, the other thing we really like doing is something that's a regular menu item, but it's a holiday drink and it's our hibiscus rum punch, because it uses a spiced hibiscus liqueur that we make, which is pretty common Caribbean treat around Christmas, because the sorrels come in about this time of year, and it's great to make an infusion. So that's what one of the things we're enjoying today. So would you like one virtually?
Or I would love
one. Would you like an audio? an audio. Here, I'll make clanking noises. Tins. Here we go. Good. That's excellent. All right. So it's really... really nice and straightforward, but just a half an ounce of fresh lime juice, about a third of an ounce of a nice demerara syrup, not too much, doesn't need a lot because liqueur's already got some honey and sugar in it, and then an ounce of our homemade hibiscus liqueur, which recipe is conveniently available in a terrific book.
plug.
But It's clove, ginger, dried hibiscus or sorrel, and honey and sugar. And if you don't feel like making it, definitely Jackie Summers, a superb sorrel product, is out and about and revitalized, which is wonderful. And we're enjoying, of course, because it's such a fine Jamaican tradition, we're making this with Jamaican rum with a private bottling of Worthy Park that we did recently, which is absolutely delightful. Cast strength, because I feel like it's 10 a.m. and I need to get this plane off the runway. So a little ice and a little shaking. And fabulous. And then into the shaker, I'm going to add 2 ounces of, wait for it. Nice. Chilled soda water, just so it kind of integrates nicely. And then I'm going to strain over ice into a Collins and really try not to get any of this hibiscus liqueur on my carpet, where that will be the end of that, as it is a little stainy. Oh, still got it. Good job, old man. And then garnished with a delicious candied hibiscus flower from Australia, which is edible and tasty. And that's a hibiscus rum punch, which I'm sorry your listeners can't see, but it is delightfully pink and refreshing.
Excellent. I actually made this a couple of years ago. I do a annual event here in Seattle called Holiday Drinks That Don't Suck with Anu at Rob Roy, typically at Rob Roy. We did it the first time this year after obviously missing last year, and it was our 10th year of doing this together. And
wonderful.
I made one of your hibiscus rum punches, I forget how many years ago, but it was several years ago, using the recipe from Smuggler's Cove, and it was a crowd pleaser, as they say.
Oh, good. Wonderful. Well, thank you. That's nice to hear. Good feedback.
Yeah, excellent. So that's the endorsement of this drink, and we will put up the recipe accompanying this podcast. And that sounds absolutely fantastic and a great way to move into Christmas week.
Yes.
Let us all hopefully have a fine and peaceful holiday season, and everyone stay healthy and try to minimize your exposure, but hug your family, because it's a good time to at least catch up as much as you can.
Well, Martin and Rebecca, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast, and happy holidays, you guys.
Happy holidays,
Paul. Take care. See you soon.
We've got the full recipe for the hibiscus rum punch in this episode's notes and on the page accompanying this episode on our website, imbibemagazine.com. Be sure to visit that website in the days to come for any last-minute holiday drink recipes you might need, and subscribe to Radio Imbibe to see what's in store for our episodes in the new year ahead. Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, and Facebook, we're all over social media, so follow us on your favorite platforms to keep up with us day to day. And with a new year ahead, it's the perfect time to subscribe to the print and or digital issues of Imbibe if you're not already. Just follow the link in this episode's notes and we'll help you out. I'm Paul Clark. This is Radio Imbibe. Happy holidays, everyone. I'll catch you next time.